Hi, my name is Denise, and I am from Louisville, Kentucky. I don't own an Android yet, but listening to Phil and the guys makes me want one. Now, get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode 28 for Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. We got a lot. Now, see, I got phones going off on me already. I can't. Oh, man. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Anybody? Bandit? Smokey and the Bandit? No? You guys are weak.
Sorry.
We still going here, or are you going to start over? What are we doing here?
No, we're going on. We're not. We're not going to re-record. I am Phil Dickinson. I'm the editor of Android Central for at least one more day after this podcast. Maybe not. We'll see. The peanut gallery back there is Jerry Hildenbrand, one of the writers from the site.
Howdy, y'all. They call me the bandit.
And we got Mickey Papillon. They call him the cell phone junkie.
Hey, guys, I'm the new editor-in-chief of Android Central. Nice to be here.
You might want to be.
Phil's no longer around, so someone has to do it.
Hey, we got to tell the story from last week. We nearly had a live birth on the podcast. Literally, yeah. It was about 15 minutes after I got the podcast published that my wife went into labor.
Wow.
So, it was close. It was real close. And, no, I'm not doing a kid unboxing. We didn't live stream the birth or anything weird, but hey, thank you. Chat room saying thank you. Thank you, chat room. It's the nicest you'll be to me all night, I'm sure. That's why I brought it up.
And yes, first. Congratulations.
Thank you. So everybody's well. Very quick birth. We were only there for like 8 hours and then I got back to work. So am I going to do a review on my baby? I totally should. What megahertz does that thing run at? Does it have a JIT?
How much memory does it have? Zero.
Yeah, none yet.
JIT comes in when they get to stage two.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been doing all week and all weekend. So I think I had my first day off since December, actually. I took that Friday off to have the baby, which was nice
it's
of you guys.
It's got to feel weird, though.
It like, really
totally
did.
Out of touch. Your news feeds are like overflowing.
Oh yeah,
Twitter is just like just a mess.
We had her at like 8:15 in the morning though, so had all the rest of the day to forward emails a little bit. And I think we have our editors meeting every Friday morning, and it was like half an hour after the kid was born, so I went downstairs and called, and they're like, "What the hell are you doing out here?" And it's a good thing we had the kid, because if we had it today, we'd be in serious trouble. We have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. And let's start out with the IFA conference in Berlin, Germany. Dieter is over there right now, and yes, we sent him because his name is Dieter Bone. That's the only reason he's there, and I'm... No, it's not. He went because I might have the baby, and sure enough, we had the baby. So, Dieter's over there, and we had the announcement of the Samsung Galaxy Tab today. 7 inches. 7 inches of tab goodness. You know, we knew it was coming, right? It was kind of the worst kept secret ever, but Dieter has used it. We've got hands-on video. We've got specs. We did a comparison with the iPad. Very different form factors. Whereas the iPad is 10 inches square, this is 7 inches, you know, diagonal, but it's rectangular. I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you excited about the tab? You have reservations?
I still find it just in this kind of world of just not me, but yeah. I know there's a lot of people that are really liking the form factor of a tablet, and so having something like an iPad and is you know a welcome thing for them. I always felt the iPad was too heavy. I didn't really enjoy the weight of it when I was using it, but you know, you compare it to something that's about 33% smaller, and the weight of it is almost less than half. The iPad is 680 grams, and the tab is about 380. So that, I think, will make a big difference. And so maybe this would actually entice me a little bit more. But for me, it's if I'm going to do anything other than what I'm doing on my phone, I really need a laptop because I need the computing power. I need to be able to, you know, do a lot of things, you know, simultaneously. And just I always felt that, you know, that the tablet market couldn't make it there for me. So I don't know. Maybe this one would change my mind, though.
Have you watched the video? I mean, it's not a pure just scaling up of Android. There are a bunch of tweaks that I think look decent. I mean, they're very iPad-ish, right? They're very iOS in nature, which, you know, what the hell? Steal it. It works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like they can copyright it or put a patent on it or anything. Just steal it, like Phil said.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'll be curious to try one. You know, I've used the Dell Streak, but I never did go out and get one. 5 inches just isn't going to do it.
Do we call the Streak a tablet now? Or
I don't think so.
Or calling the Streak a phone?
No, I think they've been calling it a
Dell's
mid, right?
Saying it's a okay. That's what I was wondering. What does Dell call it? Because, you know,
I don't care.
We call it lots of things, but
a phablet. I kind of like phablet. Yeah, that's good. I don't know. I like 7 inches over five, I think. And it's, you know, it's thinner. It's thinner. Yeah. See, you couldn't help yourself.
Heat it up. Sorry.
It has cameras. It's got a 3-megapixel camera on the back, which seems kind of low. I would have thought they would have gone five, but whatever. You know, it's got a front-facing camera.
The processor's got 4 more A's than the iPad, so that's much better, too.
Yes, the Galaxy Tab has an A8 processor, and the iPad only has an A4 processor. I don't know.
But the big elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Wi-Fi version.
Well, yeah. So far, we have not heard an announcement of a dedicated Wi-Fi version. And to me, that's a biggie. I want a Wi-Fi version. I don't want another contract. What we're seeing right now in Berlin, by the way, is the international version, very much like what they did with the Galaxy S, right? When we first saw that, it was the international version, and we saw U.S. carriers later. We don't have any official announcements of U.S. carriers, although Samsung has an event on the 16th that we'll be at. And pretty much everybody says Verizon, and we've seen it in some Verizon screenshots, right, in some inventory. So makes sense that it's going to Verizon, and Verizon and Samsung are good friends. I would really consider getting one if it was like $400 or $500, but I don't want another contract. I do not want another contract.
Right.
I have like 5 phones here that I can tether with. I've got a MiFi, I've got a Droid 2, I've got the Nexus 1. I don't need another cell phone contract.
And I have to agree with you.
You think we're going to see it?
I was going to say, if we don't see it from Samsung, it's a big mistake. I think that they'll throw one out after they debut it on a carrier or two, maybe.
How do you feel about a model that mimics what they've got for the iPad, where you've got a month-to-month with no need to continue on?
That is that's a good question.
Yep.
That'd be fine, but yeah.
Well, you know, I'm willing to give them their $599, whatever they're going to charge for it, because, you know, I'm not sure a tablet's for me, but I know if it's going to be the 7-inch one that fits in one hand, I'm going to prefer it over something that takes 2 hands to hold. That's just from the little bit of fooling I've done with the other tablet that's out there. So, you know, I've $500-$600. Yeah, that's a little pricey. I'll pay it. I just do not want to be forced to be locked into a contract of any type, way, shape, or form. They let me go month to month. I'm on board.
Yeah, and Eric L5112 in the chat room saying the price is looking more like $800 than $500. And that's pretty much what it looks like so far. I don't know. I mean, those are all rumors, and pricing absolutely will change once it gets to the U.S.
Yeah.
But, you know, if $800, that's just too much. No way. $800
yep,
is DOA.
I don't see how they can even think they can do that.
And that's not $800 on contract. That's just $800 outright, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, $800 off contract, still too much. You know, buy a laptop.
Yep. You can get a nice laptop for $800-$900, so.
You can get like 3 laptops for $800.
What about gaming? Do you think people are going to use it for gaming? I mean, obviously, the chipset is powerful enough. That's not a problem. And Dieter did some really good examples. But you think Android is ready for that form factor?
No.
Why not?
They do it soon. I don't think they're ready.
Why not?
There's been a few things said, you know, that most of the applications in the market work, and then Google's going to jump in and help some of the game developers to meet the resolution. And that just seems like, you know, why do that after the release? That should have been done by today.
Yeah, exactly. That's something they should have had, you know, out front. They should have had developers up on stage with them And I don't know if anybody watched. It was like 5 a.m. here when the thing was announced and they did their little presentation. You know, it was a little weird. It was like, all right, here's Samsung. They're showing off their TVs. They're showing off their stuff. You know, here's what it did. It was, and maybe it's just because we're coming off the Apple thing this week. And, you know, nobody does it like Apple. They really do present things nicely. I want to give it a chance, and I think this has much more of a chance than the Dell Streak does, but it's got a big uphill climb.
I agree. I don't do that for a living, and there's probably a good reason, but that's just not the way I pictured it would happen.
What about any of these other tablets that we've seen? Toshiba's got a really impressive Tegra 2 tablet. I think theirs is Tegra 2. And then there's that Hansberry tablet. ViewSonic's got a 7-inch. And, you know, we're going to get to as many as we can. And full disclosure, we're over there on Samsung's dime, so obviously we're going to go to all their stuff. But, you know, we're covering as much as we can, too. Dieter's one man, and he's getting old and slow. He doesn't listen to this. But I don't know. I mean, any of the other ones exciting you at all? The Toshiba one looks good, I think. Arcos, came out with 5 tablets.
Yep. I kind of am interested in the Hansberry one, too. I've had some good luck with some of their generic electronics, and their prices are usually really well. So I'll pay attention to it. I'm not going to say, you know, like I said before, I just don't know if a tablet's for me, other than my crazy scheme of making a refrigerator magnet calendar.
You're still pissed that you lost out in your Augin, aren't you?
Yeah, well, like I said, I bought one. Let's see. You know, I bought one off somebody that was kind enough to email me. Let's see. We'll get it showed up here, and we'll see what we can do with it.
Sweet. So that's kind of it for IFA. I was hoping to get Dieter on, and maybe he'll pop up later. I don't know. It's middle of the night there in Germany. But we'll hear some more from him throughout the week. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, IFA might well be over. And it's just, it's tablet central. It is nuts. So we'll see. Whether it jumpstarts the Android tablet market, I don't know. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, everybody's been waiting.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting for a good one that's affordable and compelling. And I hope this is it. We'll see. We'll see. You want to jump into some OS updates? Because that continues to rock. We finally, and there were people with pitchforks, you know, the Droid Incredible Froyo update finally started pushing out. And I think we were one of the first ones to bring you the manual download location. So you can do that if you're still waiting. Go get the manual update. There's absolutely no reason not to, because it's the same thing. No difference at all.
Agreed. And Tesla Tech from our forums, thank you so much. You have no idea what we were going through trying to get that just to help everybody out. And thanks for coming in, reporting where we could find it and hooking us up.
Yeah, I don't even care about being, you know, the first one to have it. That does not matter. The point is we need to find it, and we need to get it, and we need to mirror it just in case so everybody can
get
it.
That's right.
I don't think I've actually ever had an OTA update because I've always done manual updates. I just can't wait.
Yeah, nope. I try to root them before I get them out of the box. So.
A couple people in the chat saying they had problems with it. Probably the number one thing you can do is go to the forums if you're having issues. The other thing you can do is re-download the update, because occasionally they get corrupted as you download them. I've had that happen before, too, and it sucks. But, you know, you can fix it. You don't break your phone. What else? We had the Nexus One got a new update just today, on Thursday. We have FRG33, and Jerry, you've been playing with it. I popped it on there real quick just to look at it. Have you seen anything different? You think it's just bug fixes?
I'm not sure. I don't see anything different. Some people say it's a little faster. It doesn't seem any faster to me. It has a lesser version of the Google apps than what I had with my own custom trick together ROM. So I'm not really sure what the big deal is. It does have the radio that shipped with the Korean version of the Nexus One.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about putting that on there and seeing if that makes a big difference, because I've had really good luck with the FRF50 radio, the old Froyo radio. So I've been reluctant to change, but I think I'm going to go ahead and change that and see. But other than that, I just don't, it has to be behind the scenes bug fixes. Well, no, I take that back. The market is very fast for me, whereas it's been slow all, you know, the past couple weeks. But since I put that new ROM on there, now it's really fast, like it was 6 months ago.
This leaked out. It hasn't been officially pushed or anything, so we'll see about that. You know, and they only all those leaks we got back in, what was that, June and July, I guess, you know, we only officially ever got the last one, right? That's the only, maybe two, I think they pushed, and the rest we just got.
Yeah, I think they ended up having to push the second one because so many people downloaded the first one.
Yeah.
You know, illicitly. And you had to have the second one to download the third one. So I think they just went ahead and pushed the last two out. And then, you know, they pushed out a full upgrade to people that were smart enough just to wait.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And that's kind of the case with the Droid X, too. We did a walkthrough with that leaked version of the Droid X Froyo ROM that came out. I put it on mine. And then Motorola, in one of their forums this week, said, oh, by the way, if you have that, we're not going to get you off it. You're on your own. And look, I mean, if you're going to, you know, flash ROMs like that, I understand. That's fine. And fortunately, we have options. Really, really good post in our forums, and there will be a link in the show notes. So that you can have instructions to roll back your Droid X to Android 2.1 so you can get the official update, which was rumored to come today, actually, September 2nd. And then I got word that, nope, they've postponed it. Don't know for how long. Hopefully not long, but just don't know. So we're still waiting on the official Froyo update for the Droid X. I can't wait. I mean, I love the Droid X. Every time I pick it up, I wish I used it all the time.
Never got to put one in my hands yet.
Really?
Anytime we don't have any local Verizon stores where I live because of some stupid singular, you know, monopolistic anti whatever. But anytime I've been close to a Verizon store, they've had none in stock, and I've never even had my hands on one.
I really do like it, and I still haven't decided why I like it that much more than the Evo. Like, it just doesn't feel as big and bulky to me. It's thinner. That helps. But no, I really do enjoy the Droid X. It's really nice. Oh, hey, you know what we should have talked about? My mom got her Epic this week.
Cool.
Yeah, and then she came over today and said, how do I unlock it? How do I make a phone call?
Oh, jeez.
Mom. All right.
Learning curve.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's coming from a Palm Centro, so it's a little bit of a hurdle. Let's see, the Xperia X10, some stories came out that, hey, it's getting updated in September, and that's not new. I don't know why everybody's treating it like it's new. Sony Ericsson previously said it's coming by the fourth quarter. We're in September now, so it's coming in September. That, you know, there you go. Not really news, but we'll mention it. Jerry, let's talk about the HTC G2. It's been announced by T-Mobile. We don't have a date yet. We know what the thing looks like. We've seen pictures, you know, just leaked all over the place. And now we have a ROM to go with it, right?
Right. Right. It's, you know, at first we were wondering, you know, just how close it was, you know, if it was just some real deep testing ROM or if it had, you know, this is what the official software was going to be like. Based on the pictures, it looks like, you know, we're going to have stock Froyo. Except it's not quite stock. The launcher's just a little bit different. 800 megahertz Scorpion processor, not the Snapdragon, which everybody's having a fit. An 800 megahertz chip doesn't mean it's going to be slower than the 1 gigahertz.
Seeing all these, you know, all these stories are like, the G2, a phone we haven't actually seen or touched, is slower than blah, blah, blah. It's like, you haven't even seen it yet. Leave it alone.
I have a laptop with a Celeron processor at 3.9 gigahertz. Is it faster than my i5?
Yeah, no. Exactly. It's, you know, we're going to have to fight that battle just forever.
Yep. AMOLED screen, you know, it looks like it's T-Mobile's getting another, you know, a good top-of-the-line phone to replace the G1. I'm happy about it. You know, I can't wait to get my hands on, you know, the new chip architecture with the new GPU in it. It's going to be fun to play with.
Are we back in the land of slider keyboards now? Is that going to be the thing for the rest of the year?
I don't know. You know, I kind of hope so. We've seen the slabs. We've seen what all the manufacturers can do. And let's be honest, it's great. Let's see what they can do with the horizontal sliders. Then next year they can make me a nice vertical portrait slider.
Do you feel like there's enough just, you know, slab devices out there right now that this is really what they have to do? I mean, HTC's got, you know, how many? Motorola's got how many? Samsung's now got, you know, one. Well, they've got the Moment too, I suppose. But, you know, they've got to come up with something else, and that form factor is the one that's been tried and true in the Winmo side. And so let's try it on Android and see how it goes. And I don't necessarily think it's bad. I think it's good to have the options out there. You know, it's funny though that we have not seen, we're talking about this before the show, more, front facing QWERTYs that aren't sliders. I mean, you know, the charm is it, right? I mean, that's what you got.
Well, and we got some new pictures of that Motorola XT300 that's kind of like the BlackBerry Torch, or, you know, it looks like a much bigger Palm Pre. But it also has the old Moto Blur on it. Maybe it's just an older version of Android. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sold on that. I'm looking at it right now. I would buy that. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to give it a whirl. You know, that's just the form factor that I think a lot of us older tech guys fell in love with.
The old blur just totally turns me off, though. I will not buy a phone with the old blur. It was a joke. It was not good.
I think we all ought to take up a collection and buy Phil a Click. Make him use it.
I'm still relatively new to Android. I used a Moment for a little while. That's all I'll say about that. In fact, you'll notice we never actually reviewed the Moment. Man.
Poor Moment.
Poor misbegotten Moment. Something else we need to talk about with that G2, though, are the Google Voice widgets.
Yes, I've got those on my, well, I had them on my Nexus. I'll have to put them back on. It's great. Works pretty cool. Especially nice. I use it for texting, and yeah, it's really handy.
It's weird they haven't just pushed them into an updated app.
Well, I've seen a few glitches here and there, so maybe it's something that they're still testing.
Yeah, I mean, and if that's not evidence enough that that's a test ROM, then there you go. I think. I lost Jerry.
I'm still here.
We lost Jerry. He's in West Virginia. What are you going to do? Stick a fork in it.
Oh, failed. Unknown error.
We might have lost Jerry for good. No Linux questions if we lose Jerry. Jerry needs to move his router. That's what it is.
We can move on. We can push through the rest.
Okay. We will push through, and if he comes back, he comes back. What else? Cyanogen Mod 6 is now out. That came out last Saturday. I was really, really hoping that after like a 36-hour day of work and having a baby, that like the end of the night, I got back to the hospital at like 11 o'clock. I was like, ooh, there's new ROM coming out. Looks like it's stable, and it didn't come out before I passed out because I really wanted to like flash a ROM right before I went to sleep. But that's out now. I'm running it. I like it a lot. Go get it. Sapphire custom ROM on the Droid X. They said it couldn't be done, and it can be done. It takes a little bit of work, but we've got a link in the show notes to that, so you can do it yourself if you are so inclined. Let's talk some more about the Epic, because I finally got that review done, and I love it. I love that phone. I really do. My only niggle with it is kind of the slider mechanism, and maybe it's just because I'm used to the Droids. They're so tight and just have no movement. Yeah. I worry that, you know, because I play with it in my pocket, I worry that I'll break it at some point. And that's not new, right? You know, some HTC phones have had that. And
I think they've done a good job with the design, though. I mean, for what it's worth, the Galaxy S is a, you know, beautiful piece of hardware. The iterations of it, some are better than others, we'll just say. I mean, it's a personal preference thing. And if you're looking for a keyboard, obviously this is great. I think what Sprint did, though, with offering both this one and the Evo, has created enough of a choice where someone who is on Sprint looking to upgrade their device has got a good option now. They're not stuck with the Evo, and wouldn't say that the Evo is a bad device, but if that's what you're, if you don't want something like that, if you want a physical QWERTY on it, then you've got the option now. And I don't think that the Moment was a good enough option in the past, but I think the Epic has brought that, brought that to Sprint. And so I think that's great.
I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of Evo people jumping ship. We'll find out. We'll ask them all. We'll ask everybody out there. But I think there will be enough people who want a keyboard, who just are tired of it. And not that the Evo is a bad phone. I love the Evo a lot. But, you know, it had little graphical issues. So we'll see. I think
the camera's
we'll see a lot
got three
jump.
More MPs. So.
Yeah, it has the MPs.
It has three more MPs. Are you a photographer? No.
what about the front-facing camera? Is that still a novelty?
Yo, totally. I just don't see people really using this all that much. I think it looks great in ads, and it's a great selling point, but it is a total novelty. I never see this as like a people don't want to be seen. They would just talk on the phone, pick up the phone, and use it. It's great. You're like, ah, look at this. During a call, we can see each other. All right, well, let's hang up and make a real call because I don't want to look at you anymore.
Well, but what about FaceTime? Because you see the FaceTime commercials and it makes you think, hey, I should be doing this. These people really like each other.
that's what I'm saying. Like I think it works really good for marketing, but I don't see it as a very quantifiable feature for a person when they're picking out a phone. I mean, it may be something like one of those like extra nice things to have, like, oh, this is great. I can make calls, video calls, you know. But I mean, I would definitely not choose a phone because of it. So,
yeah,
at least
I'll
not
that.
Not yet. The ubiquity is the biggest point with it. It's not, and until it is, it's not going to work. You got to have two people with the same phone. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. I just heard back from Jerry. The power went out in West Virginia.
Oh.
The lights are out. It's dark. So we will go on without him. Sorry, Jerry.
He's got a Nexus. He can tether. Come on.
I know. What's up with that?
Figure it out.
So we mentioned earlier that Verizon Fascinate is basically employees have it now. That's what's going on. And we actually saw that, you know, that they were going to start getting that into employees' hands. We're still looking at a September 9th launch, and we have...
Yeah, I said the 9th.
Oh, yeah. And we got some benchmark pictures, and it looks as fast as all the other Galaxy S phones. So I might have to send it to Jerry to review. Maybe I'll take pictures and make him look at it. I'll be curious to see the other tweaks because Sprint did a whole bunch of tweaks on TouchWiz. Not a whole bunch, but enough to make a difference. Whereas the Fascinate and the Captivate, or the Vibrant and the Captivate, are really much closer to each other. So we'll see. Should have that. Ooh, this time next week, maybe by the podcast if we're lucky. So, Jerry's in the midst of his review of the Xperia X10 on AT&T, and that's all I'm going to say about that because it hasn't really changed much, and that's unfortunate. What do you think about this weird Evo-sized phone that's coming to Verizon, perhaps? BGR leaked it out this week, and it looks, you know, like your typical sweet HTC phone. Another black slab, another big black slab.
It is. And the funny thing about this, I have non-phone people asking me about this. I'm like out of the blue, just like someone asked me about it. And I was like when someone hit me over the head with a 2x4, I was like, what? Where did you see that? And he's like, oh, I was on BGR. And I'm like, really? And like of all the things that you read, like this just grabbed your attention. So, anyway, I mean, I think it's a great, you know, it's a great kind of, I guess option for those who were, like you said, looking for an Evo sized device. And this is, you know, this is there and whatever. And they, for some reason, don't like Motorola and opted to say, screw the, you know, X or whatever. But I think it's, you know, it's good. They've got the front facing camera and, a kickstand, so sure. I mean, it's just another one of in the army, right? I mean, Verizon is quickly becoming the Android carrier, that's for sure. So if this one comes out, I mean, it's not going to be a surprise if it comes out on them.
LTE, maybe? Am I going too far?
Yeah, you're going too far.
Yeah, okay. Boy can drink.
We haven't even really seen any USB sticks yet. That's what we're going to see first.
That's true.
So after you see one of those, then we'll start talking hardware.
That's true. We talked about the G2. Oh, interesting little story today. Motorola has changed up the design on the Droid X a little bit. More than a few people had problems with that little battery pull tab, especially those who got the phone and it, you know, if you had it shipped to you, it probably didn't have the battery already in it. And so it kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense. So they've changed the color. They've written on it, do not cut, you know, battery pulls. So that makes sense. And good on Motorola for fixing that. That shows that they recognized people were having issues with that and they changed their design and they fixed it up. The Milestone 2 was announced this week by Motorola. It is the Droid. It is the Droid 2, but, you know, if you're not on Verizon, you can't call it the Droid 2, so it's the Milestone. Pretty much the same phone. You don't get the UI tweaks. You don't get the non-blur, fill blur, moto blur, blur stuff. It's a little more moto blurish, and that's unfortunate because I actually really like what they've done with it on the US version, but what are you going to do? And then we've got that the Samsung Gem popped up again in a Best Buy sheet. And I know I talk bad about low-end phones, but it just kills me to be playing with these high-end Samsung phones and then to see something like that again. It makes me shake my head. Hard.
You gotta have multiple tiers, though. And if you don't, they're not going to be successful. And
do they have to look that different? Does it have to look crappy? That's my thing. I know it's totally superficial. It's like the old Omnia line, right? It looks like the old Omnia 2 phones that came out last year, and they weren't good then, and they haven't gotten better. they're not getting better with age. That's my thing. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned it earlier. We got some more details on the Motorola Flipout, which looks like it's coming to AT&T. In fact, it is coming to AT&T. It's in testing right now. We know this. I'm curious. I'm real curious about this, actually. I think I would probably like this more than I would like the Charm.
Mm.
It's got a little like Star Trek communicator thing going.
I guess. I'd rather not have the moving part, but...
Yeah. But if anybody does moving parts well, it's Motorola.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I look at this and I look at the XT300. I know we're going to get to it in a minute. And I just, I still, you know, the size is fine, I guess. I just, for whatever reason, I just can't get over the mechanism on it. I just would love to see, and this is a problem when it comes to devices that are highly, the UI is highly touch. And you really need to do that for most of what you're doing, but with the smaller screen, because if you don't put the slider on it, then your screen, you need to have the screen big enough that is going to make the phone just, you know, unwieldy to have around. It's going to be cumbersome to use, and people don't want that. And so this is why you get these kind of funky designs. I think the Charm screen is probably a little bit too small, but like Jerry was talking, it looks okay. And, what do you think about this XT300? I mean, this kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, I'll just say maybe a little bit more like the Torch or the mm-hmm. you know, the Pre than anything, but.
It's very Torchish.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a good thing, but.
No.
Have you used a Torch? I haven't used a Torch. I need to.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, for me, it was kind of bittersweet. Well, that's actually not right. It was disappointing because I picked it up when it was closed and I'm like, wow. Cause I'm a big BlackBerry fan. So I picked it up and I'm like, this is awesome. And I slid it open and went, oh. Cause it just goes from sleek and almost like it just really kind of nice hardware to, yeah, this is just too big. Just did not like it. But. It's such a personal thing, isn't it? Some people would gladly take a phone that turns just into a monstrosity after you open it up to get that BlackBerry keyboard and still have the touchscreen, you know, the big touchscreen on it. So it definitely has a market. Though, go talk to the CrackBerry guys and ask any of them their usage of the Torch versus their 9700s, and they're all going to tell you that they use their 9700s more because... The Torch is, it's kind of got this like, it's kind of like a barrier thing. You like turn it on, you're like, yeah, I got some emails. Cool. You know, but then with the you know, with a phone that's got a keyboard right there, you just flip it open or you turn on the screen and you're ready to go. I mean, you don't have to think about sliding a thing all the time, and it's a weird mental thing.
Yeah. I'll use it when, and I'm just sitting here thinking about it. I mean, I'll use it when it comes out because that's my job. I don't know. I'm pretty well locked in this lab now. I'm used to just on-screen keyboards.
And
not saying I couldn't go back, but
are you a swipe convert?
Yes, absolutely. And that took me longer than I thought it would. Or probably longer than it should have. But once I sat down and like forced myself to use it, and I still hunt and peck a lot, actually. It kind of depends on what I'm typing and just how quickly and how much spelling matters. And I need to practice swipe more, but I really do like swipe. We need to meet up with them again. Really cool company. Let's talk a little bit of software. Vlingo has added Foursquare support, so you can use the speech-to-text function that it, I dare say, is still better than Google's. You can basically check in with voice now on Foursquare, so that's great. Woohoo! I want to talk to you, Mickey, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you still have power at your house, about this Skype thing. So late last night, the Skype for Android app, which you can still only get on Verizon, updated itself, and it said, I need to pull this up and look at it exactly. It said simultaneous Wi-Fi plus 3G. And that really made me think that it was using Wi-Fi instead of just 3G, right? And then I think I went to sleep for like 2 hours and woke back up, and they changed the description to Wi-Fi runs while app is on 3G. So before, to use the Skype app, it would have to turn Wi-Fi off. And there's one thing that I did kind of miss out on and that a couple people pointed out, and they're absolutely right. Cut me a little slack. It was 4 a.m. And that is that Skype doesn't actually make calls over VoIP, right? It's not actually making like a data call. It's still a switched call, right?
Correct. On the Verizon version, yes.
Right. But why do they do that? Why aren't they doing it VoIP? That just,
I think it's more or less they wanted to make sure that the experience was going to be consistent enough where they could roll it out on all these devices and not have people going, nah, the quality isn't great. You know, I'm in a low service area. Because, you know, low service for data is totally different than low service for, you know, your voice. Because your voice, it's like it works or it doesn't. I mean, you can get to like that fringe area where it's going to cut in and out. But on the data side, if you're in a bad area, or maybe you're in an area that that's overwhelmed with the data service, it could pretend to try and work, but it's not really going to work. And so I think it was more of a consistency thing.
Have you used, and I know we talked a little bit about it last week, have you used the Gmail chat calling thing anymore yet?
Yeah, actually, I really like it. I was a little disappointed with, I made a test call, and I think it may have been because I had Skype running at the same time, and I thought I sounded a little overmodulated, and I'm not sure what that was because obviously I don't on here. But I have Gmail open all day long, and more than anything, I use it to know when a call comes in because that rings first out of all my phones.
Right.
And so I hear that ringing in the browser, and I know, I haven't really answered any calls on it though. I guess it's just not, I don't know. It maybe just because I'm not in a position where that's going to work for me well, but if you're someone that's got maybe a headset hooked up all the time or, you know, microphone and headphones, then sure, you know, that could totally work. But, not really. I haven't used it a whole lot.
I'd be curious to see where they go with that and if they end up pushing some sort of VoIP thing mobily.
I don't know that it's going to continue being free. I think that's one of, they're going to probably see, but then I say that. And then on the other side, I think, well, but Google doesn't really charge for much of anything, do they? Mm-mm. I mean, it's all ad based. So how can they integrate their ads into this? Or does it not even matter at this point because they've got so many, you know, Google Voice users? And then the conspiracy side of me thinks, okay, what are they doing with this data? Are they recording it? It seems like they are. That's what we've heard. We don't really know, do we?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either. But then they could also be recording all of our Google Voice calls for all we know. But
no, they are. That we do know.
Yeah. The whole thing is kind of weird though, right? I mean, you're using a service that someone is providing for free, and really what sort of response can you have other than okay, because it's not like you're paying for this service. And who cares? Is a good point. who cares about this? If you're doing things that are nefarious or confidential, yeah, don't use Google Voice because you don't know what's happening.
Angry Birds should be here by the end of the week, they say. I'm sure it's going to be Friday. Better be Friday. I'm ready for Angry Birds. I beat Crush the Castle. That was that one that I started playing when I was down in Miami. And it's a lot like Angry Birds, but I've beaten it, like, completely. Got gold medals and everything, so I need Angry Birds. It's time.
It's addictive.
I'm setting my alarm. I'm waking up early. The Bing app is now available if you're on Verizon. Man, I tell you, these exclusive things are killing me. I'm tired of them. I understand why they do it, but it sucks. I want apps. I want them all on every phone. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. What are you
gonna
do?
That's my thing on that. You know, it's Bing. It works. It works okay. You know, it works fine. It works great. But if you're using an Android phone, chances are you're not going to use Bing. That's just the way it is. I do like that you can get the wallpapers. That's cool. Sure. Fantasy football time. NFL, there's a game on right now. You're not even listening. You're watching the game, aren't you? You're watching it on Sling.
No, I couldn't get in. Looks like I'm having internet troubles in Colorado. So I am not.
Well, Yahoo Fantasy Football app is out. I think there's an ESPN app out, too. I think I saw that today. Go Steelers, thank you. I like the chat room now. I like that one guy in the chat room, Steelers fan. That's good. And Samsung Media Hub, we mentioned earlier, September 16th. It's coming. Don't know entirely what it is yet. I think it's going to be TV and movies. And, you know, you think that's going to be able to compete with what Apple just announced this week?
I don't think the Apple TV was really all that exciting. I think
there's a lot of that.
The 99 cent movies was, or TV shows was great. I mean, that's where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I probably still won't buy them because I don't care that much. But for people who are really, you know, dedicated to a show and they want to catch up, that's fine. The streamingness of what they've done, I think the addition of Netflix to it is a great one. But I'll keep my, I'll say first generation, I guess, because this is only number two. Apple TV, because I've got Boxy on it and Xbox Media Center, and I can use it to host and stream all sorts of other stuff, and it's more useful than, you know, what I think they've put out here. And, you know, it's not out yet. It's not going to be out for a couple of weeks, so I guess we just wait. We wait and see what this looks like. We wait and see what the hacking community can do. And I think, you know, Samsung, if they're going to come out with, you know, a similar type device, really throw AVI support on it, and I think it beats Apple just like with that one thing, you know?
The chat room's freaking out right now saying we need Netflix on Android, and it's still coming, supposedly. They're still working on it. Just a matter of when and how, I guess. And I hope they don't screw it up with some weird exclusive thing and some extra charges. And I mean, it needs to be like it is, like on the Xbox. And the Xbox is kind of bad because you have to have your Xbox Live Gold account, which, you know, costs extra money then, but there's no extra money on the Netflix side to do it, and that's really how it should be, I think, if we get the studios on board. But that's not my problem to do it, so that's good.
You know, one story you didn't have in here this week that it just kind of came out was this Google being sued over the issues with the Nexus.
And, we didn't get to
this.
That
this
today.
Was just a this was a late today one, but
it's. It sounds like some crazy guy. He's starting a class action lawsuit based on the connection problems they had back in the day on T-Mobile. And here's what I would do in my, I'm not a lawyer, but I played one in high school role. I would say, how many updates has the Nexus One actually gotten? How many software updates has it gotten? Is that more or less than any other phone out there? So don't tell me they're not working on it, right? I don't think that it was that bad that there's no way you could get out of the contract. You know, most of the time, right, carriers will let you out if you don't have service for some reason, or they won't even give you service in the first place. I have a feeling it's just some lawsuit troll.
Yeah. I don't know. Got a bunch of hits, though, that's for sure. And whether sure or not it comes, you know, whether or not it comes through, you know, with anything is, you know, most of these don't, but we'll see.
Yeah, I just have a problem with people going that route. And I'm not saying that there aren't like perfectly good reasons for class action lawsuits. There absolutely are. But I mean, this is small time. We're talking cell phones. We're not talking, you know, life and death stuff here. So I hate to see, you know, court time wasted for that stuff, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, should we give some stuff away, or should we do some emails and voicemails first? Should we give away an Epic?
Giveaway first.
You want to give away an Epic 4G?
I do.
All right, let's do that. So I'm going to type in some numbers here. We had people post all week in the forums, and anytime you posted in the Epic 4G forums, you were entered to win. So, let us pick one right now. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. And... stop. Do you remember that? Impress your luck?
No.
Oh, Mickey. You don't sit around all day watching the Game Show Channel? Is that just me?
Probably like the last person that you'd ever want to play Pop Culture Trivial Pursuit with. Because I'll be like, can I get Back to the Future for 100? Oh, wait. What are we talking about here? I don't know.
All right, so we're giving away an Epic, huh?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, and the winner of the Epic 4G is Fireman28. Fireman28. Congrats, dude. You won an Epic 4G. Is he in the chat room? Maybe. That's me. Yeah, how many people are about to say that's me? So congrats, man. We'll get your Epic. You will like it. I like it. I think you'll like it. If you don't like it, I'll take it. That's all I have to say about that. So let's do some voicemails. And once I launch programs that let me listen to voicemails. Man, I'm totally not prepared tonight. Sorry, guys. I'm a little tired.
We'll give you the baby hall pass.
Thank you. I'll be back to normal next week. Probably not.
I can't even believe you're here less than 7 days later.
I skipped the Monday podcast. So, kidding, where else would I be? I'm at home.
Yeah.
All right. We will start with an anonymous voicemail. Guys, if you're going to call and leave a voicemail, leave us your name. We like to know who you are. So here we go.
Let's call him Mr. X.
Mr. X.
Yeah, this is messages for the Android Central podcast. I'm on the Verizon network and looking to get into a Droid phone. And just wondering which one a guy should really be looking at. You know, kind of new to the whole thing. Right now I'm just sporting an old Dare. So I guess any info would be great. Thank you.
Man, totally picked the wrong carrier to ask me. Because there's, not a bad phone in the lot.
Yeah, yeah. I think we first need to kind of examine the intonation of his voice and in his accent, because then we can narrow this down to probably close to 5,000 people that this could be.
Did he sound like a slider guy?
He sounded like a Midwesterner.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm going to say somewhere in Wisconsin or Michigan.
Okay.
And I think that's important actually, because there are certain devices that he's on Verizon that may or may not be better or worse for what he needs to do. And that's always the hard thing when people ask you, what's the best device, you know, for me? And I, who knows?
No, I hate that question.
It's hard. Every phone has its pros and cons. Every phone is not perfect for everybody. Every person is going to have one device that's going to work better for them than another. And I would say, depending on what he's looking for, if he's looking for a richer media experience and more screen real estate and doesn't mind a larger screen, it's a pretty clear answer, don't you think?
Yeah, I would either go with the Droid X or the Samsung Fascinate,
mm-hmm,
or the Droid 2 or the Droid Incredible.
Right. Okay.
I mean, look, yeah, I mean, how much of a difference are you talking, right? You're talking minimal screen real estate, unless you're going from, well, I mean, the DINC is 3.7. That's not small. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you can go from as small as 3.7 to as large as 4.3. Split the difference with the Fascinate. Sure. I like the Samsung phones a lot. For my money, they are the most powerful phones out there now, I think. That's what I would do.
I mean, you really can't answer it without giving, you know, a whole lot of speculation and, you know, a heavy dose of personal opinion in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way to tell somebody what phone is going to work best for them.
But, you know, again, I like the X a lot. The X is not weak, and neither is the Droid 2. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, Mr. X, I would not go with the Droid X because it's too big for me. So there you go. I mean, everyone's going to have their own thoughts on it. But those phones, I think you choose one, you know, one of those four, and you're going to be happy.
Yeah, and the chat room's freaking out over the RAM on the Fascinate. And this is not new for Verizon. We've gone through this with Windows Mobile and Verizon chopping a little bit of the RAM out. I don't know what's up with that. And as far as I know, that's official. Whether it makes a difference, we'll have to see. So. All right, now we have voicemail from Roger.
New York.
Hey, Phil, it's Roger Q from New York. Just calling about this for the Android Central podcast. Just wanted to say this is about my Incredible that I've just rooted. And I got the little ninja icon on my phone now. But I had a couple of questions. I was wondering if with rooting your phone, do you have the same vulnerability as like with the iPhone with people being able to get in and is there a password you need to change to the root access so that other people can't get in, dial in like they have with the iPhone? And the other question was if, which I haven't gotten Froyo yet, 2.2, when I get the update, will it remove my root access? And will I have to root the phone again? Thanks a lot, Phil.
Man, I wish Jerry was here for Linux questions. I'm gonna say, I don't know. Chat room, do you guys know? So when you jailbreak an iPhone, there's like a basic default rooted password, right? It's Unix, so whatever. Anybody? Chat room? Yes? No? I think my browser locked up. That's not good. You don't know, do you?
That'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, first of all, when he gets the update, though, does it unroot it or not? I've not seen a rooted phone that then gets an update. What happens?
Yeah, it's really kind of a binary state, right? It's not like there's a switch that's flipped somewhere. It's kind of a, think of it as an attribute of the ROM itself. It's not like, oh my God, I updated, so the switch has been flipped and I have to flip it back. It's like this ROM is either a rooted ROM or it's not. And it has to do with, I think, the boot image and something else too. And that's why once you have a ROM that's rooted and they haven't really changed how it's done, it's generally pretty easy to reroot. As far as the Incredible goes, the Unrevoked guys have done a really good job keeping stuff rooted. I would hang back and see what they're saying before you do anything, really. Go to the forums. That's what you really need to do. And to be honest, I'm not as up on every single kind of a root as I should be on every phone, and especially the Dink, because let's face it, I hate the Dink, right? That's... I don't hate the Dink. Jeez, people. No. When you get the official, I want to say yes. I'll say yes. Pretty sure yes. All right, so let's do some emails. Bob writes, I'm thinking of doing a system restore, and I have two questions. Is there any harm in doing this multiple times over the life of a phone, and is there any difference in doing a system reset from the settings menu versus the bootloader screen? No and no. Way back in the Winmo days, you used to hear people say that you could only flash so many times before the memory just had holes and it became Swiss cheese. I've never run into that on any phone. I've been flashing ROMs for a long time. As far as doing a hard reset versus the settings menu, if you go to settings and privacy and erase everything, same thing. Same thing. So nice. That's that.
Alexander from Austria writes, I'm the proud owner of an HTC Desire. Since Froyo, I checked auto update on every app because, well, why the heck not? But now I have a problem. I'm going on vacation to the U.S. in mid-October and will stay there for 3 weeks. Of course, I will use my Android baby during that time, mostly on Wi-Fi, but sometimes on 3G. But now I'm afraid of apps auto-updating in the background because on roaming, every megabyte costs, well, a lot. Is there a way to disable auto-updating during my holiday or restrict it to Wi-Fi only, or do I have to change every single app back to normal? Well, first off, I agree with the philosophy of having every app update automatically just because then you don't have to think about it, and that makes a whole lot of sense. But in the case where you're going to be traveling, I'm trying to think of an easy way to do this because it sounds like it's going to be a pain to have to turn everything off and turn it back on. But I don't know, maybe Phil, you've got some sort of special piece of software that, you know.
No.
Solve it? No.
Unfortunately not. It's kind of a static thing. It's either off or on. I guess the question would be, if you're rooted, then you could run something like a Titanium backup and then just clear off everything you're absolutely not going to use and then just restore them later. That would be an option. But that's about it, unless you can get a prepaid SIM here, which is a possibility, but then you've got a...
It's still going to be burning through data, though. You don't want to have to do that if, you know...
Yeah.
You don't have to. I would say it's probably worth your time to go through. Just check all the, you know, uncheck all of them and deal with it when you get back and check them all again. It's going to be a lot if you don't. You're also going to want to check and make sure what other applications you've got running that are auto-updating in the background because you don't want Twitter and whatnot just pinging every 15 minutes or whatever you've got to do, or Seismic or whatever. It'll cost you a lot more money. It just won't be worth it. I don't even know if you should have your email on during that time. I mean, yeah, it may be nice to every once in a while, but you're on vacation, you know, 3 weeks. Get your email once a day at home on the Wi-Fi or whatever, right? That's fine.
True.
Spend a couple extra bucks here. We need the economic surge.
Help the economy.
Yeah.
Help the economy. Jason writes, I use Google Voice for my text messages, Google Talk for IM, and Gmail for my email. Is there an app I can get that will consolidate all of my communications? I don't know of one that will suck in all of them. I mean, you're dealing with two. You're dealing with three, I guess, because of Google Talk. No, and I don't think they've opened up. I don't think there are any APIs for Google Voice. Yeah, there are.
For Google.
Absolutely. For Google Voice. Yeah. But I haven't seen it tied into like Trillion or Beehive or anything. That'd be an interesting thing to add, though. They should. But Gmail, absolutely not. That's stuck in the Gmail app. So sorry.
Needs the messages application on BlackBerry. Kidding. That's exactly what he's like. What that does though? It dumps all that junk in there. Anyway, Michael writes, "I'm looking at getting the T-Mobile G2. Looks like the rumors are that it will have an 800 megahertz processor. Will this be compatible to a 1 gigahertz processor in terms of speed?" Kind of talked about this earlier. Maybe yes, maybe no. Until people really get some hands-on time with it and get to do some benchmarks with it, it's going to be hard to tell. I don't think, though, that the average user is going to really notice much of a difference. I think 800 megahertz is a great speed for an Android device, and I think it's going to do just fine. It should tell you something if we've had all these devices come out with the 1 gigahertz processors, and a flagship device will come out with an 800. It means that the device will be optimized enough to be able to handle it, and it won't be detrimental on it. In fact, you'll probably see better battery life on the device because of it. So I would say don't worry about it. You'll be okay.
Absolutely. And Brandon writes, when you talk about battery life, what exactly is heavy usage? I have a Droid X, and I can easily go through an entire battery just listening to podcasts all night at work using Bluetooth. What do you suggest to fix this problem since there's not really an extended battery for it just yet? 1750 is the largest I've seen, but I want bigger. Love the show, and Jerry is the best. Sorry, Jerry's not here to hear that. First thing I would do is turn off Bluetooth and use a corded headset. I know Brandon called and wrote in before asking about Bluetooth for listening to podcasts, and that's going to help a lot, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Corded.
Yeah, I notice with a device that I leave Bluetooth on regularly, my battery life suffers dramatically. Like, 25% to 33% drop in a day, without even thinking about it. So that is certainly going to do it. I wonder if you're downloading the podcast while you're charged or if you're downloading them as you go, because sucking down all that data as you go is going to take up a lot as well. And you know, what's heavy usage. If there was a definition with your picture on it, you would be right there, Brandon. That's heavy usage, listening to podcasts all night long over Bluetooth. In fact, if you're listening to audio, I don't know what they rate the X4, but I'm guessing the audio is probably somewhere around 8 hours maybe. And so that's my guess, is that you're probably using the device, and when you turn on Bluetooth, you're cutting it down. The phone's probably also doing other stuff, and so there you go. It's kind of a bummer, though, because I know you probably don't want to have to charge her up in the middle of whatever you're doing, but it looks like you may have to.
Sorry. We skipped one. I went out of order. Jordan writes, I recently ordered a 32-gigabyte micro SD card to replace the 8-gigabyte one I have in my Evo. Is there an easy way to copy all the content from my 8-gigabyte card to the 32-gigabyte card? I'm assuming it's not as easy as just copying all the files over to the new card, especially considering I have several apps running off the card. If I do a straight copy, I figure I'll run into file permissions issues as well as other issues. I think you're right to worry about the file permissions issues, but for everything else, absolutely, you can just copy it. If you are rooted, there are apps out there that will fix file permissions. So keep an eye out for those. Now we can finish.
All right. If you have any questions, send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com, or give us a call, 888-468-6158, and type in extension 222 and leave a voicemail there. You can also follow us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHIL. If you want to follow all the other writers for the site, you can hit them up over @AndroidCentral. There's a list over there to find all of them. The show and the podcast and the site and the website, because that was redundant, are all brought to you by the Android Central store, store.androidcentral.com. Give us a call if you want to place an order, 888-468-6158.
What a weird week. We've had tablets. We've had updates. We've had babies. We'll have more updates. We'll have more tablets. Not having more babies.
At least not for another 9 months or so.
Not having more babies. I'm done. Two is enough. Two is enough. Mickey, thanks for hanging in there. Sorry we lost Jerry. Don't know if he's ever coming back.
Happy to have power, and I'm really excited about my new duties as the editor of the site starting tomorrow. Should be great.
Everybody who was in the chat room listening live, sorry about that. Ustream fail. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll catch you then.
Have a good one.
See ya.